History of St. Philip Street, pre-1970s. Although a single plot of college property today, for generations, this block consisted of separate parcels, all with stories of their own. A cross-section of Charleston residents, only a few with ties to the college, lived here during the antebellum period. Some were white Charlestonians with privileged or professional status, such as Francis Holmes, professor of paleontology and curator of the Charleston Museum, which was then housed at the college. Professor Holmes lived for almost 30 years at 70 St. Philip, at the corner of Calhoun and St. Philip Streets, where the college's Wayland H. Cato Jr. Center for the Arts now stands. Another member of Charleston's elite lived at 58 St. Philip, Dr. John Grimke, whose brother Thomas was a college trustee. Their sisters were the abolitionist feminists Sarah and Angelina Grimke, who had left Charleston and were estranged from their slaveholding family by the 1830s. Other well-off white families living on the block in the mid-1800s included Dr. Anthony Pelzer, who lived with his wife Georgiana and ran a medical practice at 58 St. Philip, Miss Etta Kelly's family at 52, and business owner David LaFarre and his married daughters at 48 and 44. Many on this block had little to do with the college. The main building, now Randolph Hall, may have loomed large across the street, but enrollments were modest in the 19th century, especially after the college abolished its grammar school in 1836 and went down to 12 students. Numbers ranged from 50 in 1878 to 16 in 1892. People in the neighborhood went on with their lives. During the 1870s, William Rippey operated a grocery at St. Philip and George Street and managed 40 and 42 St. Philip as rentals. And in 1894, his daughter Annie rebuilt these structures. After the 1886 earthquake, another property owner, John Ludens, rebuilt 62 St. Philip, replacing a commercial structure with a corner store and residence above it. Some of the innovators and upwardly mobile residents on this block were not welcome as College of Charleston students. In 1870, Miss Etta Kelly opened Charleston Female Seminary at her family home, 52 St. Philip, to serve genteel white female students who were excluded from all-male college. The seminary, known as Miss Kelly's School, had an advanced academic curriculum that included physical education. In 1872, it moved next door into a new, graceful three-story building. Black Charlestonians in the neighborhood also sought new opportunities. In 1852, John Francis, a King Street barber and a free person of color, purchased 68 St. Philip, which he then rented and eventually sold, to the Brith Shalom congregation. In 1883, Alonzo J. Boyden, a South Carolina-born African-American in his mid-30s, bought 46 St. Philip Street. His first wife, Julia, had died the year before, leaving four children. Boyden remarried and lived for many years at 46 St. Philip with his four children, his second wife, Susan, and their children. By 1910, Susan had born 16 children. Of the eight still living, five were at home with their hardworking and successful parents. A.J. Boyden was a clerk, Susan was a dressmaker, and together the Boydens managed real estate investments. They enlarged or rebuilt 46 St. Philip Street at least twice between 1884 and 1902, and at the turn of the 20th century, they also owned property on Radcliffe Street, Queen Street, and Strawberry Lane. Many other African-American residents lived on St. Philip Street or on McBride's Lane in six two-story wooden houses built in the late 1800s. McBride's Lane ran from the back of 62 St. Philip Street to King Street and survived as an African-American enclave through the 1960s. This block was a center of Jewish life during the late 19th and early 20th centuries. The Brith Shalom congregation built a handsome synagogue on 68 St. Philip in 1874, on the property they'd bought from John Francis. Rabbi Jacob Simonoff lived next door during the early 20th century at 70 St. Philip, where Professor Holmes had once lived. At 64 St. Philip in 1912, the Daughters of Israel constructed a Sabbath school and meeting hall. And 58 St. Philip served Jewish Charlestonians for decades in the mid-20th century. The Charleston Hebrew Institute, after organizing in 1938, bought 58 and built a new structure for a school and a Jewish community center. In 1964, the Jewish community center moved out, and the college purchased the property. In a plan spearheaded by President George Grice in response to the impending desegregation of public schools in Charleston, the college renovated 58 St. Philip to house a private, all-white elementary and high school. Their goal was to support a feeder school for an all-white college, a goal that failed when the college integrated in 1967. College Preparatory School stopped renting the property from the college in 1970. By then, under the leadership of President Ted Stern, the college had undertaken a new mission of inclusion rather than exclusion, a mission which is still a work in progress in the 21st century. In the 1970s, to make way for the college's growing School of the Arts, all but one of the remaining houses on this block were demolished. The college bought 44 St. Philip Street and moved it 100 feet to the south, where it stands in the former garden of 40 St. Philip Street. The early 20th century house number, 44, is still displayed on the front piazza column of the building, which is now office space for the School of the Arts.